John the Tank Red. What a performance! But hit that acceleration, that famous acceleration, as Bozam leaves them standing. Bozam is racing away.
The champion, tie the knot, bursting up on the fence. Dye does it again.
The courageous marvel, Midas Power racing away. Good on you, son. Midas Power bolted in.
Look at Maccabi Diva. She's eating up the ground. She hits the front 100 to go. The greatest we've ever seen. Maccabi Diva. And beat it again for another Group 1 Tuesday Joy. Tuesday Joy wins it from the fires. The Western Wailing.
Build your muscles as your body decays. Hartnell, too good for the Japanese horse to the world. Beaten up the... But Very Elegant, 2.5, relays clear now. Oh, what a mighty performance by Very Elegant. She won the Barbary last year. A great backup from the big one last week, and so Dragon A wins the Tank Red. She's ideal for that.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfe.
Gee, it's a proper horses on a roll, isn't it? The Tancred, absolutely fantastic hearing some of the greats of yesteryear. We're going to try and find the winner tomorrow, of course, with Vince Accardi from Daily Sexuals. Good morning, mate.
Hey, good morning, Rolfe.
Oh, it's got a good run and roll, the Tancred, with Maccabi Diva and so forth, who also won the Australian Cup. We're going to have a look at that race as well. So we'll look at that race in isolation, then we'll get a deep dive into the Rosehill card that, of course, includes the Vinery Stakes. Flemington, rail true, track looks perfect, weather looks perfect, so let's get straight into the Australian Cup. Wowee. How are you judging this pace? Smallish field, only 9 runners as we speak. All this information's correct as of 6 a.m. Friday. We'll, of course, update anything as needed tomorrow morning post-scratchings, but prior to Jenny stepping to 2,000 and her only other 2,000 run, was it a world record what she did early?
Yeah, well, it was, you know, more than 23 lengths faster than the standard, so you can imagine it probably even would have been ahead of the cleaner and Vaux Rogue.
Well, we thought at the time there's a chance it would flatten it. Instead, Spell comes back and becomes a Group 1 star over the last racing season.
Well, it is, and you don't see, well, look, how do you know, maybe they will. They may go super fast, but realistically, even if they go plus 10, Ralphie, or plus 6 is what I actually estimate no slower than plus 6. I mean, yep. Pride of Jenny is now, you know, stamped herself in that elite category of supersonic up front horses, which we don't see very often, but Pride of Jenny is definitely one of those, and it's all about her, isn't it?
So when she won at Flemington back-to-back in Melbourne Cup week, phenomenal, yep, first section, and then backed it up a week later, just very fast instead of phenomenal. So what was the difference in speed there, and what type of speed did she produce in the All-Star Mile a fortnight back?
Oh, so we're looking at the February 10th first, that run there, Caulfield?
No, as in at the Flemington Carnival. So she's two wins there, back-to-back in the Empire Rose, and then in the Champions Mile, beating, of course, Mr. Brightside.
Well, on the 4th or 11th, 1600 metres, 15.6 above, unbelievable. Subsequent start, Group 1 again, when it won. It was very small field, 7 horses, Ralphie, 8.9 above. And mind you, just to top it off, if you go back to October the 14th, that was 9.3. It does give you the feeling that, well, that's why I said 6 to 10, Ralphie. I've got to stick to it. 6 is going to be slow and 10 is going to be normal, and then anything beyond that's going to be pain for every single horse in the field.
I thought Danny O'Brien's pair, Vaughan de Clearwood and Young Werther, would be behind her, but she'll be doing whatever she wants. Is that sort of how you read the race?
Well, no, I actually feel that Brightside will be running second.
Right. So the controversy and keeping Craig on, that says, Craig, please don't die wondering tomorrow.
Well, he won't.
Yes.
The reality is he going to be 4 lengths from it from the beginning, or is it going to be 10 lengths from them?
Yes.
This is the challenge. It really doesn't matter where it's going to be, but it's always going to be behind
No doubt at all. So our immediate, I think we did it as a group, our members bonus on the Monday after the All-Star Mile. I just put it to you, I thought, well, tell me a champion miler, because this is what we have to try to equate, that hasn't been able to run a strong 2000. You know, from the superimposer, won a Cox Plate and many others over the years, if they're really good at a mile, they're good enough to run 2000. So yeah, in the end, even, what's your forecast?
Yeah, even Empire Rose was brilliant in a mile, went all the way up to Melbourne Cup.
Well, that's class. Yeah, exactly. That's the definition. So have you got concerns that are running 2000 before matching up with Mr. Brightside, rather?
Well, no, Ralphie, because that first attempt, it was just all fast score, right? 23.8, trying to, you know, break the speed barrier. The reality is the horse is more mature, very composed horse, and just the way it ran that last race, 12.3 above, and still was travelling 3.9 lengths below benchmark mark last 200 metres, it's probably a really good sign. I mean, the drop-off in speed from the 4 to the 2 was only 1.9 lengths. Now, of course, if for some crazy reason there's a misjudgment of speed and the horse happens to get up around that 18, 20 lengths above, well, then it probably will be the sitting duck. But I just sit back here and say, Ralphie, Vaux Rogue used to do that. And so the cleaner, and they hold on.
Yep, absolutely.
So I just see this holding on scenario.
So you're leading to her over him?
I have to. Yeah. I have to. I just have to. I mean, yes, who has the best 2,000-meter data right now? Of course, it's Mr. Brightside from the 2,040-meter run at the Valley, 5.1 above.
So that Cox Plate performance, beaten an eyelash, of course, by the Hong Kong Star, but that was an unusually moderate tempo Cox Plate. I think there was wind on the day, etc. So what I'm saying is usually Cox Plate's 8-10 lengths above benchmark. This time the lead speed was not that at all, was it?
No, it was benchmark. I mean, what Mr. Brightside was travelling at and the actual lead speed was plus 3.3, so pretty cruisy. I guess that's a scenario where Prodigy would get beaten.
And you wouldn't think that cruise would be Declan Bates' intention. he's got the key to her, that's for sure. Is Blake Shin on fire? Any chance with the tissue? He's got such a good Flemington and Flemington 2000 record and really did a phenomenal job to get as close as she did to Pride and Jenny before we knew that Pride and Jenny was Pride and Jenny in that Empire Rose when she ran second.
Really, Ralphie, it's genuinely going to be fighting for third place at best.
There we go. All right. So we might stop there because you've made your point. All right, let's get to Rose Hill. Right, Rose Hill, good weather, third week in a row, rail goes out at 6 metres. What type of idiosyncrasies do you see?
Well, that's usually on pace runners, massive disadvantage. And leaders, unless they can peel at least six off the fence, it's probably going to be very difficult for them. I can see why they've gone six, because if you look at that, that's pretty much where they were starting their runs over the last two meetings. A lot of them were wanting to get three, four, five off the fence, even when it was in the true or plus two. So here it is, six. I feel for it to have been more fair, they needed to be in the 8 metre position. But they're not. They're in the 6 metre position. And I don't believe they're going to go four off the fence or wider in the home turn. I feel that they're going to be close to the rail. If we look at the situation, this is going to definitely suit the back markers and the midfielders. As long as they're not looking for inside runs, Ralphie, they will be able to get 10, 12 off the fence, and it's going to be very fast out there, Ralphie, and we're going to see some big swooping runs, hopefully.
So that's your mindset, which is good. So and this, just to quickly underline it, you always say Rose Hill, it's 1-6, then there's no man's land, and then super wide. Well, in this case, if the rail's already out six, it's not that hard to get to super wide.
No, it's going to be a lot easier, and those opportunities will come. And, it'll be very interesting to see what the boys do, and the girls.
Yeah, of course. So race one's a highway. What we'll do, we'll spit through the stakes races here because there's all of them got a fair bit of depth, and of course get your early edition race speed profiles and open it up, and Vince will give you his thoughts. So with that in mind, race two, there's an obvious leader in Serpentine. What's your thoughts in this? Is it the Neville Selwood? I'm pretty sure it's called over 2,000 metres.
Well, obviously this is a horse. It's a small field. Will it be able to dictate the front? I would say yes, with Tim Clark on board, for sure. What speed would they be looking for? I don't see the pace. So everything sort of points that this horse is going to go pretty leisurely, maybe -2, -5. And if they wanted to move a little bit more quickly, they could go to +1 or +2. But I just don't see that happening because there's no one's going to want to contest the front. So Tim Clark's going to have it all to himself, and he is the sort of rider, he's just going to cruise along, and at some given point in the race, he's going to let go. Whether that's going to be at the 1,200-metre mark or the 1,000-metre mark or the 800-metre mark, it's going to be at one of those stages. And then the question is, does that work for the horse against a few of the other runners? And I feel that that's probably the big challenge for Serpentine myself, is it's going to lead, but you're going to be stalked everywhere unless you were going to be prior to Jenny. And then maybe it'll be a different outcome. Yeah, then it might be a different outcome.
So back in at Randwick, 28th to the 10th, there was a nose between Zayrek and Renaissance Woman who were right in the race here. They're both midfielders, so both produced really solid 1.7 lengths above benchmark. And here, they're both third up. So how are you seeing their profile?
Yeah, they look ideal for this, Ralphie. And all things being equal, with the exception of possibly one other runner, they look set to fight this race out, and they're going to have their opportunity here. Tommy Berry could, from the way I've seen both of them ride, he's probably a higher probability of getting out a little bit wider than Rachel King. And therefore, that's probably where the edge might be in the end.
So they're the ones in the market. So we've mentioned Serpentine. The other one that we haven't yet mentioned is Little Mix for Annabelle Neesham. She's fourth up. How is she profiling for this race?
Not good, Ralphie.
Yeah.
Has a really bad profile in terms of, you just got to look at when this horse has been up. It's been up a long, long time, since August. And the reality is that doesn't serve it really well, given the trainer profile of Annabelle Neesham and where this horse is trending. I'm surprised it's actually even considered to be in the market, because it should be a lot longer than that.
So I dare say that's with the weight drop and the 2,000 profile, but you're just saying on pure ability, it's got a challenge there. So the other one you've mentioned is He's a Shocker. I guess peeling it back, if he brings his 2022 form, he's right in the race, but there's a level of trust required because he's second up here off a not sure run, but just really didn't come up in the spring.
Well, you look at that run, right, first up, there was a few little hidden, well, a couple of merit that we've got to put in terms of the merit. Number one, the pace the horse ran at first section, +2.1. The slowdown between the 402 and the 200 was like 2.7 lengths before rebounding. So this run could have been very close to a benchmark performance. Now, of course, it doesn't have that one extra run, but we're not going to be in a race where there's going to be fast pace, and this sort of helps the horse to be here second up. And I'm expecting a really strong performance. I'm not sure if it's going to be able to beat Zayrek or the other runner. This is Renaissance Woman, but it could test him.
All right, that's on ability then. That's $10. Mm-hmm. So there's one to have a look at. We'll talk business tomorrow. Race three on the program here. A lot of punters have identified this as the key chance on the day. $1.90 linebacker. Looked fantastic in winning. Looked fantastic in this trial since. What did it do on the clock?
Fantastic. I love that. Well, I don't know, Ralphie. I sit back here and say -3.7. Okay, sixth best of the day. I do like that from a maiden perspective, 1,300 metres. I like the way the horse finished. I mean, good speed early, going 0.3 below benchmark. Excellent in the mid-race, 0.8 above, and even overall last 400 was plus 1.1 with a bit of a drop-off over the last, very last 200 metres. And I'm just sort of questioning, you know, what was the degree of that ground condition, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting back here saying, here we are, second lifetime start. Well, it's not a hot field or anything like that, but the reality is we do need to see another two or three lengths of improvement, and maybe it'll come, maybe.
Well, the other challenge then is too what you're saying, is particularly with a lightly raced horse, it's barrier one, it's a fast horse early. That might make him vulnerable in the straight because the way you're saying the track might be playing.
For sure.
How are you expecting the track to play?
Yeah. Absolutely. This is all going to be a challenge. I mean, does Tommy Berry going to really want to own the front, or is he going to hand it up to Adam Hieronymus, which is possible? So this will be interesting from a tactics point of view, but this is a pretty risky race, Ralphie.
Yep, you won't be playing. Okay, race four on the program, the Tullock Stakes. It's often the lead into the Derby where horses back up quickly. Laveni did it successfully a couple of years back. Favourite for the race, well, this horse, it wasn't hard to dislike a couple of weeks ago, Wiremark. He did get the best ground on the day, but he was good, and he lines up well with Kintyre, the second favourite, who's been racing against better horses. How are you seeing this race?
Well, if we start with Wiremark, firstly, that run last night, I feel they were very, very blessed in the sense that they didn't have to go and use any real energy early, 9.3 lengths below benchmark through that first section. Good move in the mid-race without overtaxing the horse. I mean, the mid-race squeeze between the 8 and the 400 was a 9.8. Like, if you compare it to what it did at Newcastle back in February, which was 17.4, you can see the significant difference. It was a lot more cruisy and solid last 400, plus 3.5. And what I like about this is, Ralphie, that this wouldn't have affected it at all from a run point of view because it is getting deep into the campaign, but that was just a nice go around and collect the money and really do very, very little harm to the energy depletion. And possibly the peak will come tomorrow.
Right. So it's got a really good setup here.
Absolutely. And just repeat what I did the start before at Newcastle, around that half length above benchmark, and you're going to run first or second.
Lovely. All right. Kintyre's had some stakes experience. Where does he slot in?
Well, I had the two runs in. Again, this is another horse, probably a little bit fortunate with what happened with that as well. That first up run, 10.2 lengths below benchmark, and the one we're talking about is 24th of February, first section.
Yep.
And then steps up a couple of hundred metres, goes into that Group 2 race at Rose Hill on the 16th of the 3rd, and all of a sudden is running 2.3 above, like a 12.5 length turnaround in speed. This just brings their fitness to where they need to be. Now, I'm not saying this horse wasn't in reasonably solid fitness levels leading into that first up run, but it's a perfect way to round it off. The question will be this now. Is 2,000 too far for the horse?
We'll find out.
Yeah, is 1,800 more its limit?
So Chris Waller's got two horses. I'll get your touch on both. Salt Coats, he said on his Twitter video, which is always good watching on a Thursday or Friday, that he didn't want to make excuses, but Rose Hill played a bit laney 2 weeks ago. We've mentioned that. So I guess the question is, what was its first up run like?
Really? Okay, that's interesting. Okay, well, that Rose Hill run, first up, that was good performance. 0.3 below benchmark. Can't fault that. Early speed, though, 6 lengths below Ralphie. Very, very cruisy. Giving you the optical illusion that you're going to have a booming finish, which it did. 4.2 above between the 8 and the 4. And pretty much matched that over the last 400. And the last two was very strong. So, all in all, that was lovely. But then, went to Rose Hill off the 42 days, and maybe he's talking about these lanes and the way the track played, but maybe it was the early speed, 3.8 above early, undid the horse because it was awful over the last 400 metres. And I feel that that's the main reason why the horse fell apart. This is a horse that needs a no-pace race to produce its best at the moment. As they evolve, that can change. But right now, if you're confident it's going to be run very slowly, you know, maybe 3-4 lengths better than barrier trial speed through the first half, then for sure, this is a great way to get to 2,000 metres and make it a contest. But if there's a bit of pressure, I just feel that this horse is not ready for that yet.
All right. Well, looks like Weimark's way you'll be learning, and we'll talk business tomorrow.
Yep.
Race 5 on the program here. Again, good continuation of the depth here. And these are some really nice mares here, starting in the Emancipation, starting with Group 1 performers in Ruthless Dane and Hinged at the top of the market. Well, Madame Pomeroy's won a Group 1 as well. So, been some good depth here. How are you seeing the pace of this race unfolding with the filly Macarena, Hard Defence? That's also interesting. She's favourite, given what you've said about how you're expecting the track to play.
Yeah, well, this horse is capable of going with plenty of speed. It's who's really going to test it? If there's some testing to be done, now Hinge is a go-forward horse, but I don't see Hinge wanting to sort of go much faster than sort of benchmark. So that sort of means that, okay, is Tim Clark going to be a lone leader and run to its speed it did at its previous run, plus 5.5? Probably not. Probably just a comfortable lead, which might take it a plus 2. Or is a horse like Arctic Glamour going to put some pressure on and say, no, we're going to roll here, and then there's this chance that we could go plus 2 to plus 4? Right now, I'm just taking a position. We're going to be average speed, round benchmark, maybe plus 2.
So in your most advantage, and this is, you know, you've first cut it via your computer, Vienna Princess is on top. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with Vienna Princess and the case for it, if you've been with it, it's two runs this time in, it does seem like it's a, you know, cleaner ground the better.
Yeah, and this looks, it's, I can't help but feel it just looks so ready for this, Ralphie. Last preparation, we don't have to go too far. We just got to go to November last year, this track. 0.9 above, race matrix was indicating under the stress testing of the class was about 1.7, so stronger. You look at the breakdown of that run, 5.3 lengths below benchmark first section. I don't expect that horse to be going that slow tomorrow, but in the mid-race, again, it was a pretty gentle move of, it's 2.5 lengths, and then the booming last 400 of plus 7. Now it's had two runs this time in. First up run, Ralphie, probably a Waller classic. 12.5 lengths below benchmark first section. Excellent move in the mid-race. You have a look at a 10.5 lengths mid-race squeeze. That sort of about top three or four best ever squeezes for this horse. That sort of gives you insight how well the horse is going as well. And then rounded off very strongly with the last 400 of plus 3.2. Then steps up to the 1,500. Straight away, what we see an immediate shift in early speed from 12.5 below to 3.1 below. So we've got 9 lengths faster. So that brings on conditioning big time. Even in the mid-race, whilst the squeeze was only small, 2.9, in terms of relative to how far above or below the benchmark, it was almost 2 lengths faster than the run before. And then the best work, if you want to call it best work, last 200 metres, 0.8 above, breaking benchmark and rounding the horse off to be, you know, I would say very close to a peak performance for tomorrow.
Well, what is its peak?
Well, its best ever performance that we have in recent times is 2.4 above, and this is at 1,300 metres. Yep. And last campaign had a 1.9 above. Would the horse test that sort of level? Well, I'm not even looking that far. I just feel that the horse is, you know, there to run at least between 1 and 1.5 above based on what it did in November last year. And that's where I expect this horse to be, at least at that level.
Right, Ruthless Dane kicked off in the Newmarket. Now, up here and up in distance, where's she profile?
Well, it's interesting, Jamie Carr, some of the rides she has. First up run, pretty decent, Ralphie. Just below benchmark first section. Excellent in the mid-race, going 3.8 above. Overall drop-off last 400 it was, I'm not going to say savage because it didn't have it all on its own. The way the race was, the horse did have a negative impact between the four and the two of 4.5 lengths. So there's no way the horse got the opportunity for, you know, its best performance. Up to 1,500, big plus for the horse, Ralphie. And second up, no dramas. And Jamie Carr, well, she finds the lanes.
Yep.
Going to be there, isn't it?
So it's right in the race as well. And Hinge has got that Group 1 class when right. It was good first up with Hell Hath No Fury. It's huge odds here. And then last start was sound.
It is sound, but it's just been hovering around that benchmark profile, Ralph.
Yeah.
Hasn't been able to go take that next step. And then if you look at this horse, this is another horse, if you really peel it back, it's been up since August.
Yeah.
So it's, they're just hard horses to back. Now, I love the fact that J-Mac's on it, but I was looking during the week, Ralphie, and maybe you might know this better than me, but I was just saying to myself, how many times I do the work on a Saturday for a Saturday, and I'm looking at a bunch of J-Mac horses to back, and then I sit back and say, but you're only probably going to win one or two.
Right.
Every now and then you'll win three, right?
Yep.
But, you know, am I going to be lucky enough to catch you on the day you win three? So I just sit back and say, this couldn't be one of his best three chances, surely.
Fair enough. And just to round it off, because it's in the market and it made you sad last week, Alentia on the quick backup.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Hard horse to fault, Ralphie, really. First section, 4.2 lengths below benchmark last start. It wasn't over the top in the mid-race. You know, the squeeze was only 4.3 lengths. Good, solid last 400 metres, plus 2.8. They're all hard things to knock. I just, you know, I sit back and reflect on it and say, okay, could you have possibly, you know, been affected by the fact that you had to go six lengths faster? I'd say no. You shouldn't have been. So I'm just sitting back here saying, I don't know if you're going to be able to make that next step tomorrow and beat a couple of these other runners.
All right. Sounds like Vienna Princess might be a very interesting play. We'll talk business tomorrow. Race six on the program here. Again, really good depth of the card. And this is over 1,200 metres for some good quality sprinters. You've got the conundrum, I guess, is that some are first, second or third up. So where are they in their prep relative to how you expect them to come to play tomorrow? How are you seeing the speed for this race?
It should be good speed, Ralphie. Minimum. Surely they're not going to go slower than benchmark. Surely. You know, that's got to be the starting point. It's benchmark or faster.
Yeah, Markovic loves rolling, doesn't it?
Well, it does, Ralphie. It does love rolling. And the reality is, though, you look at its last three runs of early speed, it hasn't broken benchmark. So it's going to be Cold Crusher and Markovic. They're going to dictate and determine how fast this race is going to be. So I look at Joshua Parr. I look at Hieronymus. You know, both of them can pull the trigger, Ralphie.
Yep.
So that's the danger. You know, which one will you be on if there's a trigger pulled, if you want it to be on a front runner? And are they intelligent enough to be well away from the fence in the home straight?
So we'll go on market order here. How are you seeing Shinzo profiling with – three barrier trials, and it's just I'm in the not sure camp watching it. What's the clock saying?
I thought someone sent me a clip on. There was some communication around this. Is everything all right with Shinzo?
Well, it had a post prep op, so minor operation.
Right. Yeah, don't like that. So not sure. I'm not going to knock the horse, of course, in terms of profile and capability. Definitely, we have not seen what's the best this horse can produce. What we do know at the moment is this is a runner at this distance range has already been able to, you know, comfortably frank that plus 2 to 2.6 range. And all things being normal, just based on how it's trending into this race, this horse is reasonably ready to go. And the expectation is it should be able to turn up and run at least to that plus two profile. Now, right now, I've just been a bit conservative and said, okay, when I was doing the first cut yesterday, pinned you in at plus one, and just see what transpires between now and tomorrow morning, whether I feel this horse is, you know, worthy of being upgraded further. Now, mind you, Ralphie, I haven't pinned any of the horses at the absolute top for this race.
Yes, so I've got it here. The thanks to Daniel who sent it to us. The Chris Weller Stable reported the colt has undergone epiglottic entrapment surgery since its last race, 4th of November. The horse has since trialled on three occasions. So let's post the minor wind-up. We'll find out how much it can breathe tomorrow.
Yeah, well, usually with win-ops, it's funny, just from, you know, the years of evolution, they usually have one good run, generally speaking, and it's the first one.
Okay. I think Mark and I'll give a bad guide there. So Hawaii 5-0 actually does tie in because it too ran in the Everest. First up is the interesting one here because not just Blinkers Again, but the context is here. This horse didn't start its career with Waterhouse Bot, and it's run without blinkers its entire career. It's had two sort of nothing trials watching it without blinkers. So it gets the blinkers on for the first time with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bot, and for the first up run off not wearing them in trials.
Has to be the horse to beat, surely.
Yep.
Absolutely has to be, Ralphie. This is a runner. On talent, on what's exposed so far, it is the superior horse to Shinzo. Now, of course, Shinzo's had some challenges, let's see. But the reality is there's been a lot of smoke and fire about this horse, you know, potentially, you know, being a rising high-caliber horse. And that 3.7 that it produced at Randwick, that day over 1,200 metres, I mean, if it ran to that number, we'll be all collecting for sure, right? So just a bad yard parade, which isn't going to happen, Ralphie. It's not going to happen. And I just feel that they're going to want to put their stamp on. And I love the fact that the blinkers is on. And that just is another sign of intent. Just Nash. Be in the lanes, young man. Just be in the lanes, and the race is yours.
Well, we like that nice and simple. I'll just touch on a couple more. Libertad, we really liked its first up run. Barrier one, probably not ideal from what you've described to date.
No, I did like the way the horse finished, though. It was really good. I mean, 5.4 lengths below benchmark first section. Last 400 metres, 2.5 above. Really, the horse was slowing pretty much from just getting to the 600 all the way to the 200-meter mark, Ralphie, and then there was an explosion. There is an impact there of 1 to 2 lengths for sure. Now, is that going to be enough? Is that going to be enough? That's the question, because if it was probably any other race outside of a couple of horses that we've got here, maybe that would be enough. But here, this horse has to go well and truly past any performance it's ever done before. So I'm always a big believer that unless you can clearly see it in the intel, one must be cautious with these sort of horses, and you've got to wait until they deliver, even though it might cost you money, but that's fine. I'd rather it cost me money by not backing it and it winning and waiting another day for it.
And learning from it. All right, yeah. So it sounds like Hawaii 5-0 you're interested in. We'll talk more tomorrow. The Vinery, well, you talk about things that we know. We know Zardozi's here. We know she's very promising. And the Kiwi Orchestral has been delivering. How is your clock lining these two up?
Well, the good thing is with Orchestral, at this stage, on the last star performance, 0.6 below benchmark. So that's there's your insight. So you're not going to get too excited over that, are you, Ralphie? But I'm going to give you the plus now, right?
Yep.
I've got to give you the plus, right? First section, 1.5 above. Second section, 4.8 below. In other words, just trending slower and slower and slower. They mustn't have caught on in New Zealand. That, you know, slowing a horse up usually isn't an advantage for maximum performance. And then picked up the speed, last 400, went plus 1.8, a little bit of a taper at the end, just marginal, which also sort of gives me the insight that that run probably brought the horse right to its top. Now the question is, should you go past benchmark? Yes, I do feel this horse will go past benchmark, and is it good coming back to the 2,000 metres off 28 days. And again, I would say yes. So it's yes to both. And there's no question this horse is going to leapfrog. Is the price justified? Is that horse in the red?
Try $1.60.
How much?
$1.60.
Yeah. I don't know what the bookmakers are up to, but they've got the wrong medicine. They've had too much whiskey. I'm not sure. Maybe they're smoking the wrong gear, but there's no way that horse, under any circumstances, could even remotely be that short, because it's not that good. It's good, but not that good.
So at the start of the year, or not at the start of the year, maybe late January, we just did an episode. It was a quiet week in racing, so we thought, let's look at some good horses. And he said this is Ardozier's horse. He said it's got a Caulfield Cup type profile of winning the Oaks. It's a really exciting talent. Didn't do much first up, didn't have the things run the suit. It was just super fortnight back, wasn't it? Am I missing it?
Absolutely, absolutely, Ralphie. Well, I do have a little nervousness about the Blue Jackets, right?
Yep.
Just a bit concerned about how they've been placing their horses. Have they been, you know, having them ready? Is this the day where they're just going to explode and people say, oh, my goodness, you've gone nowhere. You were just waiting for this day. Because I got a few skeletons about to come out of the closet, right, about the possibility. But on performance, you've seen what this horse was able to do late in the campaign last preparation, all the way out to 2,500 metres, breaking benchmark. This horse has turned up second up. And made between first up and second up, horses improved 6 lengths and went to a new PB. And you look at the intel, and the intel is indicating more improvement to come. So this is an ideal situation, third up 2,000 metres. And your stumbling block is probably a Rock Hard Fit New Zealand horse, and that's the only advantage you could give in the race, is that one's just got the hardness of racing and the other one doesn't for the prep. But class-wise, Zardozzi's definitely ahead of it.
Well, that's not bad when you're seeing as much as 480, mainly 460 across the board. They're going to let you get the place on side. That's a fair opportunity here.
It is. It's just need that time to really think through what the hell are the Blue Jackets doing, Ralph?
Okay.
That's all. Because we're talking money, and I've been feeling their pain.
Yes.
And usually it's a stable that when they got their runners set, you just want to chime in and back them, and you have a lot of confidence. But I'm a bit lost at sea at the moment. I'm trying to work out, you know what's really happening there.
Autumn Angel beat Group 1 winner Tropical Squall at Caulfield, and it's only 2,000 run. Peter Moody said, yeah, just not quite strong enough, so we won't run in the Oaks. Let's just worry about the future. And the future was nice second up at Flemington. What type of progression can she keep making?
Well, it's a nice horse for sure, Ralphie. The first two runs, probably a little bit on the soft sides through that first section. You know, not a lot of intensity. Perhaps on the weekend it's going to get that. At the moment, it is trending to benchmark type profile, so it doesn't sort of put you out of this race. It sort of keeps you in the hunt. And, you know, from a data perspective, what, maybe it's a length behind the New Zealand runner with possibly more upside for this horse than the New Zealand runner if we're looking longer term. But right now, I just feel like it's a runaway still, Ralphie.
And just for multis, I think this is Chris Walder's Oaks horse, 2 to La Vida. I don't know if it's good enough, but first up, it was 100-1, really surprised the market. Just that race-to-race change in speed at Kembla Grange, going from a slow 1,400 to a fast Kembla Grange mile, has it got progression to be a multi consideration?
Well, it definitely affected the horse, no question, Ralphie. You can see that horse may have even, as it turns out, be a little bit flat too, Ralphie, from that first up run, because the squeeze was monumental first up at Rang. It was a 16.1. Yes, it was a soft early speed, but that last 800 metres was full of merit and it was solid. And then, like you said, went to Kembla and all of a sudden had to go almost 11 lengths faster. And you could just see, other than the last 400 metres, the horse couldn't even get near that mid-race move or above benchmark. So they're all signs that this horse, firstly, will be improved by that run. And now the question is how much? Last campaign, what did we see? We seen a 2,000-meter performance at 1.8 below benchmark. I just feel they got themselves in a really uneasy situation when the lead speed was 11.4 above that day, and they had to travel 5.2 above. It was just too much for that horse, and I actually feel that given the circumstances, for that horse to only go 2.3 lengths below benchmark last 200 metres does give all the merit as to why this horse is going to be excellent at 2,000 and maybe longer, but at least at 2,000. And they're not going to have that pressure tomorrow, Ralphie. So I'll be very keen to see what it does. Is it a threat? For sure.
It's $26, so
yep, sure.
Worthy of putting down. All right. Yep. So last Monday, we do the usual podcast. We looked at the five group ones and then did the members bonus. So I went to start at Mini Valley. He said, hang on, I want to talk about post-impressionists first. Here it is on the quick backup at the Tankard. For those who weren't group one members and didn't hear what you said, here it is. Say what you want to say.
Ralphie, well, first of all, what an unbelievable run. +3, fourth best performance of the day. That's the first thing. And then you look at the structure of the race. Benchmark through the first half of the race. 2.2 above between the 8 and the 4, and then had the audacity to quicken with an overall last 400 of +4.5, which included a 0.8 slowdown between the 4 and the 2. So I just sit back here and say, oh, wow, does he know what he's doing?
This is where you hang us.
Yeah, he's just crazy good with his horses. And the horse, Ralphie, I was keener on the other horse, the international runner, but this horse was almost as good as the other performer on the day, right?
Via Sustina, you talk about.
Via Sustina. So this is the starting point. I mean, I'm sure the market probably hasn't missed it. What are they currently serving this horse up at?
Well, here's the thing. It's mid-twos. We'll break apart why, but I wouldn't be surprised if they serve up a bit more, given he's going from a handicap to a weight for age and he goes up in weight.
Oh, so that's the problem, is it?
Right. Well, it won't be your problem, but I'm just trying to think of what the market might do.
Yeah. Well, if the market's smart, they'll know exactly what to do. well, Ralphie, you got the milkman in the second pick there, Tom Kitten. I was looking at the fridge this morning when I got up at 3, and I said, should I be sending this over to Sydney? Because I don't know what to do, or should I be sending it over to the Blue Jacket camp saying, what have you been doing? This is a horse who's – because really, this is the challenge of being a professional, you know, even when betting and that, Ralphie, is the psychology you've got to deal with. Like, half my brain says that, it's cost you a stack of money. Here's your chance. And I'm going, yeah, but you're not running to that Cox Plate potential that I thought you were going to have, right? And post-impressionist might, right? So I'm sitting back here saying, well, on all form factors, unless you're with me, Ralphie, and genuinely believe the horse was flattened and ran flat into that last run, it's impossible of me seeing that horse beat post-impressionist. If that's the case. Now, if it was flat, then maybe the surprise will happen. Good luck to any other horse, though.
Yeah. So you're saying on talent, that's what you're not forgetting. It's talent. And the gear change, let's call it that, Jamie Carr first time is always an eyebrow raiser.
Well, they're changing every week with that one.
Exactly. But what I do want to ask you about, though, is Buckaroo. So V. Sustina was phenomenal, but it was off a hurdle speed. What type of squeeze did Buckaroo do? Is it ready to produce a very good run? Or well, was it just the wrong setup for a week backup off that?
Well, I don't believe Mr. Waller would have been happy with that. I mean, he can't work out the race pace on the day. Well, sometimes you could if you got six horses, right, in the race. But that minus 21.3 to a 2.8 above, that's a 24-length mid-race squeeze. That's huge, Ralphie. And then you got to just look at it. That last 400 metres, 8.1, I mean, they weren't easing. They were going hard as why? Because of who was in the race. Now, I do expect this horse obviously is proving that it's got a level of fitness. If, for whatever reason, let's just say Post-Impressionist feels that first up run and runs sideways because it's flattened by it, right? Let's just say that's the case. And Tom Kitten doesn't stand up at all and has been running like it has in the past, then, yeah, you can land on Buckaroo, but you still got that caveat that run would have had an impact on it as well. And it's a very quick backup.
You're more than happy to go with the obvious then?
Yes.
Simple. All right. Is the obvious in race 9 another world? What type of excitement has it got? Obviously, the market's found it big time. Now it gets into a big field and it'll probably have to produce a new PB. But these type of horses, when they're on their up, they're quite exciting. And you were a little bit on the fence, and not against it. You just wanted to see it do more before that Flemington run. And then after the Flemington run, you were super bullish. It's inside a barrier trial. How does it line up?
Yeah, well, Ralphie, you look at that last start performance. I know it only has 0.1, but on the race matrix, plus 2.3, which is a lot more like the expectation. And, you know, we've still got to factor in going from 2.2 below to 4.5 below, losing another two lengths in just that sheer energy of speed, which is never a big advantage. And the horse just accelerated away for the last 400 at plus 4.5. I'm just sitting back here saying, could we see a horse emerge into that plus 4.5 range? Could we see that actually happen tomorrow? And if it does that, then we've got the emergence of another an elite horse, a top 10 horse in the country. That's where it'll end up if it does that tomorrow.
You know, I always love full intent. And by that, I mean, you know, a couple of weeks back, I said, just be careful with Tavvy Time. It's not its grand final if you're going to take the odds on. Well, here, if it wins, it gets into the Doncaster. If it doesn't win, it doesn't get into the Doncaster. I love that. That's full intent.
Wow. So that's what's on the table.
Yep.
Yeah. But can you back it, though? That's the problem. How short is it?
Well, it's about $1.80 at the moment, so I know you won't be taking that price.
No, and this makes it hard, right, because it's not like I can sit here, even though it doesn't have, you know, just on the adjusted IVR figures, the best figures in there. The reality is this, right? It's a massive, massive risk to take on any other horse, and it's sad because the market should have it $4 the field.
Yep.
And it's not, right? It's not. It's like, what did you say, $2 or $1.90, and everything else is like $8 or more. Could this mean there's a possibility that this horse could drift a little bit? I don't know. You know, are they going to really back other horses? That's the problem. Is anyone else going to be backed in the race?
Well, that's right. You're going to be on the other side of the bet. So that just from your first cut here, and of course, you'll be adjusting it tomorrow for final edition, but the most advantage, and this is what you're saying, because the IVR figure yet isn't been good enough on what it's actually done as opposed to what it could do, Amul, Victorious, Von Hawk, Bold Mac, the others you mentioned.
Really, they are the horses that are in the right form right now.
Yep.
And if another Will wasn't there, this would be excellent value race. It really would be, because there's a high probability one of those three horses will win, Ralphie. But, you know, with another Will, you know, like, we don't know. It could be the exploding star. And now that you've just explained that to me, it could be in for a demolition, downright demolition.
We don't mind that. It's only benchmark 88, but of course it'll be quite thinking for a lot of us. The race 10 on the program, Gringotts is favourite here. It's got a little bit of first up with more with real potential here. And again, because of it's a benchmark 88, I think there's really good incentive for the Mar team to get to come to play and then be eligible for better races that they no doubt hope it can get to.
Yeah, well, this horse has got all the hallmarks of being able to turn up, and if it's going to, you know, have some, you know, really solid campaign later on as well, then the reality is this horse should turn up, run at least benchmark tomorrow.
Yep.
And just on that alone, that sort of puts you hard in the top three or four. And the fact that J-Mac's on it, very, very hard to see any negatives. I love the fact that they've gone straight to 1,400 first up, because I feel that's where this horse needs to be. Needs to be at that distance, 1,400 to 1,600 metres. I'm not saying that the horse can't do more, but that's where the ideal placement should be first up. And they've got it.
The other horse deep in the market's Willowed. How does it line up?
What number's that, Ralphie?
No, number 15.
Number 15. Okay.
It's a non-pacer, I suppose, that from what you've outlined, it could be the one that's a bit vulnerable late, given given they'll be storming down the middle.
It was a good run at Kembla Grange. It was very close to benchmark. All splits were above benchmark. It did finish in the top three for the day. In fact, if you look at the last three runs, this horse hasn't ranked further back than, well, last four runs hasn't ranked further back than fourth best of the day. So it's obviously a horse that keeps trying.
Coming through the grades, yeah.
Yeah, and very competitive. Geez, Gringotts must be slow if it can't beat it, though.
That's all we like. Is there any other horse I should mention?
Yes. Did you look at the horse number 13, Razors?
I did.
Yeah, so what's your thoughts on that, Ralphie?
Lightly raced emerging.
Yeah, well, I thought this was the other horse that was really interesting for me. Last campaign, rock solid, this track, this distance, when it ran second, it was at the end of the prep, 0.4 above, and race matrix virtually franking that. I love the fact that the horse was travelling at near benchmark speed early and then had a really strong last 400 of plus 4.1. It is a little bit of a one pace, not with a big sprint, but that's fine, you know, particularly with a race like this. And I looked at that first up run, nice and cruisy through each of the sections, a little bit of a softening between the four and the two, lost about 1.5. That was enough for me to say that performance was probably about a half length below benchmark and not minus 1.9, if I, you know, take that into consideration. And therefore, an above benchmark performance is on the cards. It's just all about the Blue Jackets. Are they there or not?
That track distance second was to Macarena, who's favourite in the Emancipation. So that stakes form into this. So that's one line up there. All right, we'll conclude that now. It's been a real good. It's got some real depth to it, this Rose Hill card, and hopefully some really good opportunities on Good Friday. Hopefully you've gone for a nice walk and listened to our information, and it's got you in the right mindset. Tomorrow we talk business for our little mini podcast, where we'll look at the Australian Cup and all of these races from a punting perspective. In the meantime, thanks so much for being a customer of Year Round Carnival.